I think it's really important to create spaces that encourage people to gather. We're currently in an epidemic of loneliness in our country where people are spending less and less time connecting with others. Research shows that that is extremely important for our health, to have relationships and socially connect with other people. And if we can create spaces like parks that encourage people to gather formally, you know, maybe as like a neighborhood gathering or a small party, or even just informally as they're running into other families and meeting people in the neighborhood, that's a great way to change an environment to positively benefit the well-being of the people living near that park.
Neighborhood parks are more than a place for kids to play. They provide kids and adults a place to make new friends, appreciate nature, and be physically active. A K-State Research and Extension Family and Child Development Agent in the Wildcat District is involved with a project to renovate two Kiwanis pocket parks in Pittsburgh. On today's Sound Living, the importance of neighborhood parks. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman. K-State Extension Family and Child Development Agent Michelle Broxterman says the goal is to revitalize the parks to encourage intergenerational play and build relationships among neighbors. Michelle, you're working on revitalizing two Kiwanis Pocket projects in Pittsburgh, really for intergenerational play and building relationships among the neighbors. I'm wondering, how did all of these projects get started?
Yeah, Jeff, that's a good question. So, yeah, we're focusing on two parks. Sunflower Kiwanis Park and Countryside Park are our goals for this project. And we kind of have only started with Countryside Park. That's our main focus at this time. You know, we're kind of taking one project at a time. What I think is exciting about the way it got started is it got started at a lemonade stand. You know, in my neighborhood, I was just talking with one of my neighbors, and she mentioned that she would like to see some improvements done in our neighborhood park. I'm a Countryside neighborhood resident, and I thought that was kind of an interesting idea and a way to encourage families and kids to be active and kind of have a positive impact on their health just by what facilities were available to them. And so it kind of just took off from there.
There's a lot of partners involved in this project. Run through some of those and how you got them involved.
Yeah, so our main partner is the Sunflower Kiwanis Club of Pittsburgh. And really, they're the catalyst for both of these parks, because although they are city parks, Sunflower Kiwanis has adopted both of those parks. And so they have, over the years, fundraised to update the equipment and maintain those parks. So this has been a mission of theirs for years. And, you know, this year they were planning to contribute funds to update some equipment at Countryside Park. And so they definitely are our main partner. We're also working with the City of Pittsburgh and their Parks and Recreation Department. So they will be contributing a lot as far as labor and all of the things that we end up selecting for the park project. And they've also been a wealth of knowledge and information as far as selecting playground equipment and park design and that sort of thing. And then also, we've just had a lot of community members within Countryside Neighborhood who have stepped forward to take lead on the project and contribute in lots of different ways.
From what I'm seeing, it sounds like this is way more than just a general facelift.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So when we initially began, I kind of imagined it just to be a simple update of the park equipment. But as we got talking with lots of different people in the neighborhood, I was excited to find that people had big dreams for what the park could actually be. And so right now what we're looking at is expanding the park. So the current footprint of the park is about half an acre. You know, it's just a small piece of property and contains some park equipment and a small shelter with one picnic table under it. But what we found is that there was some land to the west of the park that wasn't being used. It's actually in a floodplain. And we've worked with the city to purchase about 3 acres of land that currently adjoins the park just to the west of it. And so that's in the process, kind of in the works of happening. So eventually we'll have expanded the park by quite a bit. And we're currently discussing how we're going to use that additional land.
I guess you're kind of dreaming big here. Is that right? You're taking all sorts of ideas and then eventually you'll narrow it down to one plan?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we want to have input from the people who live near the park to make sure that we're choosing something that will serve them well. Some input that we gathered early on was that the park is kind of tailored to just a very small age group. So it kind of just serves school-age children pretty well. You know, the playground equipment is more tailored towards that age level. And so there's not a lot of things there for young children, like toddlers. And then also no one, as far as adults, is using the park other than just bringing their children there. And so that's one dream we have, is that we're able to create a space that serves all different age levels and different generations and encourages everyone to be active. So it's a park for everyone.
As somebody who is in family and child development, talk a little bit about what it means to have these type of gathering places for communities.
I think it's really important to create spaces that encourage people to gather. You know, we're currently in an epidemic of loneliness in our country where people are spending less and less time connecting with others. And research just shows that that is extremely important for our health, to have relationships and socially connect with other people. And if we can create spaces like parks that encourage people to gather formally, you know, maybe as like a neighborhood gathering or a small party, or even just informally as they're running into other families and meeting people in the neighborhood, that's a great way to change an environment to positively benefit the well-being of the people living near that park.
Even the socialization for children, too, learning how to play together?
Yeah, absolutely. That's so important for young kids to have time where they can be social and interact with other kids. And if they're not practicing that, you know, and not learning through play, then they're not going to develop that important skill set. So providing a park where kids are able to interact with other kids and play, even with their parents, is a very important experience for them to have as far as their development and their well-being goes.
We hear a little bit about the adverse childhood experiences. This is kind of the opposite. This is something that can really build a positive experience for kids?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, a lot of people have heard about adverse childhood experiences. And so on the flip side of that, we have positive childhood experiences. And that involves, you know, having a safe place for them to play and allowing them to have strong relationships and good memories with the people in their life that care for them. And so providing a park that is up to date and safe and tailored to meet kids' needs helps them to experience those positive childhood experiences. And what research shows is that that's not something that just kids who've maybe had an adverse childhood experience need, but it's something for everyone. All children need positive childhood experiences to grow and develop into healthy adults.
You mentioned that you've gotten a lot of input from neighbors in that area. How has that process gone along? I'm assuming that some of these people, maybe even though they lived in the same general area, maybe didn't know each other all that well.
Yeah, that's been a nice part of working on this project, is that we've kind of got to meet other people. You know, it's kind of connected people who haven't spoke with each other before. We've done multiple things to gather input about the park. So we had just a survey that we put out to everyone that they could complete virtually. And then we've also had a neighborhood gathering at a church that's located within our neighborhood. They've been generous enough to allow us to use their facilities. And so we've had just a fun neighborhood gathering where we kind of shared where we were going as far as the direction of the park and gathered more input. We're also planning another meeting to kind of share where we're at and get some more input from the neighborhood as well as from city administration, so that as we move forward, we're sure that we're meeting the needs of the community.
It sounds like this has maybe become even a much larger project than you originally envisioned, but what has surprised you the most during this process?
You're right. When I began this project, I was expecting it to not be so large. So that has been surprising, just how big it has become. I also thought that people would benefit from the end result. You know, when the park was finished and people would be using it and connecting there. But what has been really surprising to me is to find that the benefits began as soon as the project began. So the process of this creative placemaking has brought people together and connected lots of different people who didn't even have a reason to connect before. And so I'm seeing that as a great benefit, just people working together and getting involved. And then also, you know, I don't have an official count as far as who's been using the park and that kind of thing. But it seems to me like just even talking about improving the park and getting people active has spurred people to do that. So it seems like there's more people using the park already, you know, even though we haven't improved it yet. And there's just more people out talking with each other and walking around. So that's exciting that we haven't even done the work. I mean, we've invested a lot of work, but it's not complete yet. And already people are experiencing benefits from that.
What would you say to maybe other agents across the state who are interested in doing these same type of projects in their communities? What are some things that you maybe would recommend that they do?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, this is my first community vitality project that I've tackled. And one thing I've learned is that you don't have to have it all figured out to get started. The best way to begin is just to start talking with people, especially surrounding a park. People understand that parks are beneficial and important, and it's something that's easy for people to get behind. So I would suggest just begin talking with community members and organizations if this is something you want to tackle, and kind of talk about what your ideas are. I think you'll be surprised to find that there's lots of allies that you could have so that this isn't something that you're working on all alone.
Sometimes younger people don't feel like they can speak up on community events. Has this been an opportunity for you to gather some input from younger folks as well?
Yeah, so we did have some younger members of the neighborhood fill out the virtual survey for us. And then when we had our neighborhood gathering, we just taped a large piece of paper on the wall and asked for kids to give their input by drawing pictures. And so we got some great ideas that way. And a lot of kids have just, you know, spoken up and shared with me personally and other people on the committee what they would like to see in their own park. So that's been exciting to kind of have that experience and allow them to share their voice in this as well.
So what are the next steps then in this process? What's next for the project?
Yeah, so like I mentioned, we're getting ready to meet again at the end of June and continuing to get some input from the neighborhood. We're in the process of getting quotes from playground equipment companies, and we've decided to kind of work through the process in phases. So the first phase that we're going to be focusing on is updating the playground equipment as well as the ground cover in the area. And then hopefully we will also be getting a new shelter in phase one. So we just completed a grant application to help fund that. And we're lucky enough to have partnered with the Pittsburgh State University Carpentry and Construction Program. And so if we're able to get the funding for the materials, the Carpentry and Construction Program will work on designing the shelter for us, and then they'll also complete the construction and building of the shelter.
And then for Sunflower Kiwanis Park, will they just kind of follow the same guidelines?
That's what I'm hoping. You know, we haven't really addressed much with the Sunflower Kiwanis Park. It's in kind of a different neighborhood, and so I'm hoping to kind of follow this same template that we've done in Countryside Park. The Sunflower Kiwanis Park does not have additional land surrounding it, so we're kind of landlocked there and probably won't be pursuing expanding the park, and we'll be more focused on making sure that the playground equipment is updated and maybe useful for lots of different people of all different ages.
The final outcome, what are you hoping that people get out of this project?
You know, if you would have asked me that at the beginning of this project, I would have said simply that we had a place where people could go and connect and be physically active and enjoy nature. But, you know, now that I'm in it, I hope that people also get that they have the power to make a difference in their community as long as they are prepared to put in some work and find other people to work with them as well. There's a lot of power in connecting with other people and working together to complete a task that will benefit your whole community.
That's K-State Research and Extension Family and Child Development Agent for the Wildcat District, Michelle Brocksterman, with information on efforts to revitalize neighborhood parks in Pittsburgh. Sound Living is a weekly public affairs program produced by Research and Extension at Kansas State University. I'm Jeff Wickman, and this is the K-State Radio Network.